Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Tell everybody, folks, about Freedom 106.5, the station where you can free your mind. 50 minutes after 12 o'clock, so let it be a new day for you and your diabetes and your treatment and your knowledge of diabetes. Let's welcome Andrew Danu, president of the Diabetes Association, and his special guest today. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, Beast. How are you doing?
I'm okay, sir. Nice to have you again.
I'm glad to hear that. Mm-hmm. And today we have a very special topic, a very impactful topic. We're going to talk about diabetes and amputations. It's a topic that, of course, many persons living with diabetes are quite afraid of to discuss. And, of course, no one wants to have an amputation, but there are many ways to prevent it. So we'll talk about some of the ways to prevent it. And we do have a sponsored segment in a bit, talking about a product and talking about a company who's working towards preventing amputations. But of course, before we start and get into that interview, we want to remind our listeners about some of the activities that are going on in the association. We have launched our diabetes school quiz. So if you do know a child in standard 3, or you are a teacher in a school or principal, then you could enter the school quiz. You could go to www.diabetesquiz.org and you can get all of the information there on the quiz. Enter the quiz. You have until the 14th of April to enter. That's a child who's in standard 3. All the materials are there and you can win lots of prizes. The child wins lots of prizes, the school, and of course the teacher who helps the child as well can win. We also have our Jazz Festival coming up, and this is, of course, one of the big fundraisers for the Diabetes Association. If you do want tickets for the Jazz Festival, which is on April 9th, you could give us a call at the Diabetes Association, or you could send us a message on any of our Instagram or Facebook pages, and then you can be able to get some more information there as well. So that's what's going on at the association. So we want to go right into the topic, and I want to introduce our guest today. But before we introduce our guest today, I just want to set the stage a little bit and talk about the problem that is amputations, or the problem which we have been having in Trinidad and Tobago with amputations. So the Ministry of Health has put a lot of focus on this because over the last few years, the statistics that have been coming out is such that 30% of hospital beds, so 30%, which is 1 in 3 hospital beds, which actually equates to about 900 beds in Trinidad and Tobago, are actually occupied by persons who have some sort of foot problem caused by diabetes. So it's a third of the hospital beds. And of course, we all were informed about hospital beds when we were in the height of the COVID pandemic and we understood the importance of having space for persons. And if 30% is taken up by persons with diabetic foot infections or foot diseases or foot problems, then we know we need to really make a change in that. A couple other pieces of information that we know about is just last year, there were approximately 600 amputations, lower limb amputations or leg amputations in Trinidad and Tobago. Some of which were performed in the public health system, some of which were performed privately. But what's interesting, Bass, is that the ratio between men and women, for every 2 men who have, or every 1 woman who has an amputation, 2 men will have an amputation. So in Trinidad and Tobago, men are twice as likely to have amputations than women. Men are twice as likely than men, than women. So it's much more of a problem in men. So we really need to deal with that, and we'll discuss that as the time goes along. So we'll talk a little bit more, but of course that was just setting the stage and telling our listeners about the importance and about reason why amputations are so it's such an important topic to discuss. So today we actually have Dr. Richard Mann, who's a doctor of podiatric medicine. Dr. Mann is a diplomate of the American Board of Podiatric Surgery, retired. He is the Chief Scientific Officer at Realm Labs and the Medical Advisor to All Care Home Services Limited. And he's also the inventor of New Remedy, a dietary supplement. And we're going to talk some more about that supplement today. So I want to welcome to the program Dr. Mann. Dr. Mann, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Andrew.
And I'm very happy that you are here, and I'm very happy that you're working with us in Trinidad and Tobago. And I know a lot of the listeners may be with us today, and we're going to be talking about you. We're going to be talking about your product, but we also want listeners to chime in, and I want to ask Base to share our numbers for the listeners. If you would like to give us a call or send us a message, either for me or Dr. Mann, please do that. Base, can you share the numbers for them?
Yeah, sure, folks. As always, our numbers are 627-3223. 625-2257 and WhatsApp's only 306-1065. Once again, 627-3223, 625-2257. And for your WhatsApp messages, 306-1065.
Thanks again, Beast. And Dr. Mann, let's start talking about the problem. So what is the problem with lower extremity amputations in Trinidad and Tobago? I would have kind of introduced it, but I want to hear from you. What's the problem with it?
Well, first off, once again, thank you so much for having me on the show, and it's so nice to be here. The problem is that there's an epidemic of diabetes, and as a result of the epidemic of diabetes on Trinidad and Tobago, there are an exceptionally high number of lower extremity amputations on Trinidad and Tobago. The latest data that we have was from a paper by Islam and other physicians who took a look at major lower extremity amputations. So the lower extremity is anything below your hip and below. It's your leg. And a lower extremity amputation can be classified as major or minor. A major amputation is anything above the ankle. So through the leg or the thigh is a major amputation. A minor amputation is anything that is below the ankle, which is a part of the foot or the vast majority of the foot. That's a lower extremity amputation. It's minor. The number 600 that you spoke about before is correct. That's the number that came out of Islam's paper. And that only looked at major lower extremity amputations. When you do a calculation from other data that we have on other Caribbean islands, is probably 1,500 lower extremity amputations, both major and minor, on the Trinidad and annually in Trinidad and Tobago. And when you take a look at that and compare what we believe is in the range of 150,000 diabetics, then you, if you are a diabetic annually, you have a 1% chance of having a lower extremity amputation. Mm. And since diabetes is a chronic problem, if you are a diabetic and you have diabetes for 15 years, you can do the math. If every year you have a 1% chance of having an amputation. So this is an epidemic by any definition. It's tragic from a personal perspective and socially. People lose their ability sometimes to work. And there's a sense of despair as a result of getting an amputation. What's interesting is that a lot of it is preventable, and I hope we get to talk a little bit about preventing these amputations. But yes, in the Caribbean in general and Trinidad and Tobago specifically, there is a catastrophe going on with lower extremity amputations.
And so the number that you would have quoted, 1,500, I mean, that's far more impactful than 600, because just losing a piece of your foot is treacherous for anyone living with diabetes. And of course, we do know that for many of these persons, when they start to lose a part of the leg, if they don't take care of it and if they don't address the cause, the amputation may creep up the leg, meaning that they may lose more and more of the foot. So we've seen that a lot of times in Trinidad and Tobago. So we want to talk about prevention. We want to talk about how could you actually detect it before it even happens. And I want to bring into the conversation peripheral neuropathy. I wanted to introduce to our listeners, what is peripheral neuropathy? How can we detect it? And why should we be testing for it and preventing it? Doctor?
Well, peripheral neuropathy is a disease or problem or dysfunction of the nerves in the peripheral nervous system. The peripheral for the purposes of our discussion, it's in the leg, the feet and the leg. And the nerves stop working properly. Peripheral neuropathy, generally people feel numbness, tingling, burning, or shooting pains in their feet and legs. It has a very, very specific history. It starts in the tips of the big toes and ascends up the feet and legs over months and years slowly. So it'll be in the big toes initially, then the second toe, then all the toes, then into the middle of the foot, then up into the back of the foot, and then into the ankle. It's the progression. It's called a stocking and glove distribution. And it's classic in diabetes. Peripheral neuropathy is the main complication of diabetes. And it happens in the course of diabetes, it happens about 50% of the time in diabetics. So half of people with diabetes get peripheral neuropathy. Mm-hmm. The problem with peripheral neuropathy, among others, and we don't have enough time to discuss all the issues, is you get numbness. So you get you have a disability in your ability to feel the surroundings. So if your foot is numb, you don't feel things that will traumatize your foot.
Yeah.
You don't withdraw rapidly. For instance, if your foot's numb and you're walking barefooted and you step on a sharp tack, you don't know that you stepped on it. And or if your shoes don't fit properly, you don't know that until you go ahead and start seeing the signs of the damage that was caused. With respect to a shoe, if a shoe is scraping your skin off and you don't feel it, you realize you have a problem when you see redness, swelling, pus, maybe you have a fever or some ascending redness up the foot and legs, as opposed to noticing it immediately and fixing the problem. The longer you wait after you have a wound or an ulceration, the less likely it is that it can be healed without an amputation. So the quicker you identify that you have a problem, the better off you are. That's where the product that we introduced into Trinidad and Tobago comes in. Mm-hmm. It's called Neuremedy. And one of the things that Neuremedy does, it improves sensation. It suppresses numbness, tingling, burning, and shooting pains in the feet and legs by restoring a vitamin that is commonly deficient in diabetics. So if you're taking these pills and you get a restoration in sensation, not completely, but significantly, it's very, very advantageous to preventing lower extremity amputations. Because if you develop a problem, if you have a shoe that's rubbing you, you realize it and you correct the problem. Mm-hmm. And as opposed to reacting to it after you have a wound, and that's where you get into trouble if you're a diabetic. When you develop a wound, it gets infected, and then you have to go ahead and fix that. And one of the ways of fixing it, unfortunately, the end stage way, is by amputating the part. So increasing sensation, which is what Neuremedy does, is very, very important. It doesn't work all the time, but it works many, many, a great proportion of the time. And the good news is it's extremely safe. It's been used internationally. The key ingredient in Neuremedy has been used internationally since the early 60s. It's very safe. We've been selling it in the States for the past almost 20 years now, and it's quite helpful in helping people get restoration of sensation and improving the functioning of the nerves in the feet and legs and reducing numbness, tingling, burning, and shooting pains.
Yeah, and thanks, Dr. Mann. And of course, the Neuremedy product, we'll talk a bit more about it, but I have a question for one of my members. She is a 60-year-old woman, and she says that she often has these pins and needles feelings. She spelled it, but I know what she means, and we often call it in Trinidad, Junjuni. I don't know if you ever heard of that term, Dr. Mann.
No, what? Say that again?
So we call it the pins and needles feeling at the bottom of the foot. In Trinidad, we call it Junjuni.
Junjuni, so, I'll remember that.
So that's a term that these, I wouldn't say older ones, but the more mature members of a society may know about, and that pins and needles feeling at the bottom of the foot. Can Neuremedy assist with that? With this?
Well, there's no one's going to guarantee anything with any medicine, but certainly if you have a gingini or pins and needles sensation in the bottom of your feet, it probably indicates that you have some neuropathy and that the nerves are not working properly. And one of the things that Neuremedy does is reduce these sort of symptoms. So it certainly is worth a try and we're optimistic. It usually works if it's going to work in 3 to 4 weeks. So you know rather rapidly.
Yeah. And thanks for that. And Dr. Mann, let's talk a little bit more about Neuremedy. So can it be taken with other medications such as anti-diabetic medication, hypertensive medication? Can this supplement be taken in conjunction with these medications?
Yes, there's no medicines or other nutrients that you cannot take, that would cause you not to be able to take Neremity. Neremity is extraordinarily safe. I don't say this just off of the, for my hip. This is product has been around, or the key ingredient in the product has been around since 1960. It's very well tested. We have tens of thousands of people on Neremity in the States. Doctors dispense it in their offices in the States through our efforts, and we track very, very closely any problems, and there are no problems. We don't get any calls. There's no issues associated with Neremity. You can take it with all your medications and other vitamins as well. I would suggest, though, that if you take any nutrient, you want to discuss it with your physician, especially if you're on the treatment for something, but it's extraordinarily safe.
Yeah, yeah. And how soon after a patient starts taking Neremity should they expect to see their symptoms subside?
3 to 4 weeks. It's very consistent. What happens with diabetics is they go into vitamin B1 deficiency for reasons that are very consistent with diabetes. And when you go into vitamin B1 deficiency, your nerves don't work properly, which is what people are feeling. And reversing vitamin B1 deficiency with Neremity takes about 3 weeks. And that's when you start to see people who develop increased sensation and decreased gingivitis and other disturbing sensations in their feet and legs. And it's very consistent. It's 3 to 4 weeks. What's very interesting is that if you stop taking Neremity after you've improved, within about 2 months, the symptoms come back. Because we haven't done anything to correct the problem that you're urinating out your vitamin B1 and going to B1 deficiency. All we're doing is restoring it. So you take Neremity as a loading dose, which is 2 capsules twice a day for the first month. Generally, in 3 to 4 weeks, you have significant improvement. And then you can reduce it to 2 capsules a day thereafter. But 3 weeks to 4 weeks is very, very consistent, Andrew.
Yeah. And when you do start to take Neremity, is it advised to continue taking it? Do you have to take it forever? What's your advice on it?
Well, it's a very interesting thing. So if you take Neremity and you get improvement, you'll know it in 3 to 4 weeks. Many people want to stop the pills at that point, either because they don't like taking pills or they're better now and they don't need the pills. And they find that within 2 months, generally, 1 to 2 months after stopping the pills, that the symptoms come back. So I don't want to say that if you take Neremity, you have to take it forever. But I will say that if you take Neremity and you want the symptoms to stay away, you should continue taking it. And if you don't, your symptoms will come back.
So for listeners who are joining us, and of course those who may be interested in the product, where can they get the product? Can they get it in Trinidad?
Yes, thankfully we associated with a wonderful group of people at All Care Home Services, and we currently are in Pennywise Cosmetic Stores, we're at Massey Pharmacies, and we're at All Care Home Services. We have a retail store at the corner of Marshall Trace and Southern Main Road, Warrenville. And you can call All Care Home Services at 707-0680. That's 707-0680. Or you can email them at allcarehomeservices@gmail.com or follow them on Facebook and Instagram at All Care Home Services, ALLCAREHOMESERVICES, All Care Home Services.
Thanks so much for that, Dr. Mann. And thanks for introducing us, introducing to us this new medication. Of course, you've said it's been around for quite a long time, but it's new to us in Trinidad and Tobago. And we hope that persons listening could call and find out more about it, try it out and get the benefits of the product. I want to thank you for joining us on the program today, Diabetes and You, Dr. Mann. And I know in the coming weeks, we're going to be talking some more to you and your colleagues about this product, to you and your colleagues about amputation, diabetic peripheral neuropathy. And we're going to be exploring the topic some more. But after, we're going to take a break. And then after the break, we're going to
Andrew?
Yes,
Andrew?
Yes.
Before we take the break, I just want to say one thing. It's not a medication. It's a nutrient.
Yeah.
Medications are something different. This is a nutrient. This is a vitamin. This is a very, very safe vitamin formulation. And it's distinct from a medication. A medication is something else. We're talking about vitamin, restoring vitamin levels in people with diabetes. Mm-hmm. Vitamin levels, the low vitamin levels of vitamin B1 cause the nerve problems.
Yeah. Thanks for that clarification, doctor. So yes, so it is a vitamin, a supplement that would be able to assist. So I'm very happy that we've been able to talk about it. And we look forward to chatting some more about it in the coming weeks. Thanks again, Dr. Mann. And again, thanks to All Care Home Services for sponsoring this segment.
Beef? Thank you so much for having me, Andrew. It was an honor and a privilege. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you there very much, gentlemen. We shall return once again. You can call All Care Home Services Limited at 707-0680 or email them at allcarehomeservices@gmail.com or follow them on Facebook and Instagram. We shall return with more Diabetes and You.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
All right, folks, let's continue with our segment, Diabetes and You. And of course, Andrew has his other guest inside.
Thanks, Pace. And we want to change up the program a little bit. And we wanted to include some more persons who are affected by diabetes. So for the last few months, we've been having experts in different topics or different areas of interest for diabetes. And we've been having you give us a call and share your experiences with us. But we also have persons who are uniquely impacted by these complications of diabetes, by these issues that would surround diabetes. So we have a very special guest today who's going to chat with us for a little bit, and he will be telling us about his story. This segment is, of course, we want to call it Your Voice, because we want to hear from you as well and tell us if you may have been or you may have been having some of these issues. And as we continue to talk about diabetes and amputations, we have Mr. Jabu Card, who is one of the champions at the Diabetes Association. And I'm going to let him introduce himself and tell you all a little bit more about him, because he is a champion. He has been speaking out and has been working with us for the last few years at the association. And I know that what he will say today may or will impact many of the lives of persons listening. Ja, thanks for joining us.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. As Andrew has indicated, my name is Ja Buko. I don't really know how to go from there, but what I can tell you is that Andrew invited me on, and I've been part of the Diabetic Association of Trinidad and Tobago over the last few years, because I am an amputee. Mm-hmm. I am 51 years of age, and I suffered a significant burn on November 29th, 2020, and the complications of the burn, which was created by the fact that I found out that I was then diabetic, did not allow for proper healing to occur with my right foot. As Dr. Mann indicated earlier, the complications just enhanced and continue as a type of sock, like if you're pulling your sock over your toes, over your ankles, up until your calf, up until your leg. And in order to prevent further damage being done in terms of any infections when the foot wasn't healing, the end game was I had a amputation surgery done below my right knee, so I am what they call a right leg below the knee amputee, and it opened my world to there's diabetes in my family. And but you feel invincible, and you feel as though it's not a disease that that will affect you. And Dr. Mann is absolutely correct. It is a disease, and it's even more than a disease. It is an epidemic. Yeah. And I was listening to the introduction at the start, and I heard you all keep using the word problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I try not to define my situation as a problem, but I think the problem that exists is the lack of awareness, the lack of attention, the lack of knowledge about what exactly diabetes is and what diabetes can cause. To this day, I'm learning more and more about diabetes every single day, because, and Dr. Mann, I'll be calling you to try your product, because you look and you try to find every which way and how you can prevent it or how you can deal with it. And what I've come to realize, it's a lifelong disease. It's a lifelong ailment that you will deal with once you are diabetic, and how easily one can become diabetic.
And I'm really happy that you are sharing your experience with us today, because I would have met you a couple of years ago as well, right after you did have the amputation. I believe we would have been introduced by a mutual friend. And of course, since then, you've been working with us and you've been advocating for persons who do have an amputation or have had an amputation rather. And I mean, I wanted to tell our listeners a little bit, because we just have a few minutes with you and you need to run off in a bit, but I wanted to tell our listeners what happened after the amputation. So after you did have the amputation, I wanted to tell us about where did you get support. I wanted to tell us about the process of actually trying to get a prosthesis, and how it has been for you since then.
So I am very lucky, and I am very blessed, and I was able to have all of those that you just described be facilitated to me. So going into surgery, I had an idea of what would happen post-surgery. The hardest thing in dealing with an amputation is your brain. You have to be able to make a decision that it does not end your life. It does not stop your life. Dr. Mann talked about, or you talked about earlier, about how it changes someone's life and it gets them into a depressive state. What I found was that I was a former national swimmer for Trinidad and Tobago and collegiate athlete. I represented Trinidad and I represented Louisiana State University at international levels as a swimmer. And I don't know if coming from team sports or coming from being a swimmer in an international level, that I had a mindset that, well, listen, life goes on, and you can't allow these hurdles to dominate what now is your life. So I was blessed in that I had friends, family, especially family. My circle was tight. And then I got correct information. The information allowed me to become a member of the amputation clinic in Woodbrook. And through the help of the doctors in that clinic, and also through the help of a group of fellow amputees in Trinidad that were all right leg amputees, I had the right direction. My surgeon and my medical practitioners were also very in tune as to the steps I was taking and where I was going. Once the amputation occurred and I looked down and there was no more right lower limb, it was time to find out what needs to be done next to get up and walk. And yeah. I got my first prosthesis after 3 months between the surgeon, my GP, and the prosthetic doctor. They would not even entertain a conversation about a prosthesis until my limb was completely healed and and my sugar was in the correct range, and I was a healthy individual. And so I was able to have successful surgery. I was able to have a successful fitting for a prosthetic, and that's been my life since. You know, it's you wake up every morning and you look down and there's no leg, and you have to put on your leg, and then you go about your day just like everybody else. You know, it's not fun. It's not easy. It hurts. It's hard, but it's a difference between deciding to deal with those things or sit on a bed or sit in a chair or get up and get going, you know. And the power of support, the power of positivity, what I've learned through the Diabetic Association, and as Dr. Mann indicated, it's something that you have to keep learning about continuously. Neuropathy is something that you don't even know you have, because you have no idea that you're not feeling something. And Andrew, don't necessarily want to take your conversation in a different direction, but sure. Just driving around in Trinidad and Tobago, what I've noticed is that there are amputees everywhere. And that's a huge problem. It's a huge problem. As you talked about 30% and the challenge to beds and being available for beds, and those who are blessed to be able to have the situation done in the private sector, and maybe a little bit more of an analysis of what your situations are versus those who have to go into the public sector and, you know, have to deal with the challenges of that. You know, the stories I have and the people I've met who are amputees that did it in both sectors, you know, are positive. And but it's not the result that is the problem. It's the cause that is the problem. And what I've learned through your efforts and through your work, and you know, you asked me to be a champion for that, and I just feel as though there's so much more I need to be doing or I could be doing, because it really is a lifestyle change. It really is about how we live our lives and how we can prevent these simple things from occurring that lead to a significant issue like an amputation. So every time you ask me the question, I always start off by saying I'm blessed. And, you know, being blessed and being positive, having the correct support, having the correct information. I wish I knew Dr. Mann about 4 years ago, because I would have been taking that remedy then. But it really truly is something that you and your organization, and any way I can be a part of helping, is we have to get the word out there. We have to get people to understand it's a lifestyle change. Everything. The complications from what Dr. Mann talks about in terms of the neuropathy, and then once the disease is in your blood or in your bloodstream or in your bone, everything moves upwards. And as it moves upwards from your feet, that goes past your liver, that goes past your kidneys, that goes past your pancreas, that goes past your heart, that goes up to your eyes, you know? So it's a continuous battle once you have to join that fight. So we have to be a part of finding a way to not having the fight be what somebody's reality becomes. And the last thing I'll say is that, you know, again, have any mindset to decide that your life is not going to change. You're going to be part of living your life still. It's a hard thing to do. It's not easy. It can be done. But what I've also learned is that my amputation is on my right leg and my gold is on my left leg. And that's not G-O-A-L, that's G-O-L-D. My left leg is all my life is now about. So I have to make sure, you talked about right size shoes, wearing white socks, not walking on the floor barefoot, maintaining your medication, being aware, lifestyle change, diet, all those things contribute to what the goal in my life is, which is now my left leg.
And I'm very happy that you are sharing that, because as we know, many persons who have experienced amputations may not have had support, as you are. Again, you are fortunate to have the support of your family, the support of your network. Some persons don't, and as we said, about 600 amputations every year, many of those persons don't have the means, don't have the network to be able to get the support that they need. So it's very, I would say, depressing for many persons. And I'm sure I'm sure you would have gone through feelings like that.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I just want, I know you have to run, but I just want you to tell our listeners, maybe someone out there has been told by their doctor that they need to have an amputation of a digit, of a toe, part of the foot, or they are worried because they have an ulcer at the bottom of their foot. I want you to tell them a little bit, give them a little bit of advice. What should they do if it is that they think something may be wrong with their foot? Should they be afraid to get if the foot is getting? Should they be afraid that the doctor will cut off the foot? What should they do? What do you think that they should do if there's that they have some issue with the foot?
Well, one of the things is that you have to respond. A lot of us believe that if you ignore it, it will go away. If you don't recognize it, it will heal. Our body's not something that will just heal if there's a problem. And when we see something that's not normal, when we feel something that's not normal, it should be addressed. A cut on your foot, once you start, Andrew, this program could go on forever, but once you start learning this segment and you start learning this community, you will see that it's not just neuropathy, it's not just diabetes. Somebody can get a cut and not know it's become infected. And the damage to your blood and your bone is rapid. It's not 6 months, it's not a year, it's like a day. You know, it might be a week. So, you know, you have to monitor. And the same way you monitor, I don't know, simply like your face, you know, we wash our face, we use whatever products you might use, your hands, you moisturize your body. Your feet are critical components of your being, right? So first thing I would say is don't ignore. Don't feel as though you're different. That's a huge part. I was part of your of our training paper and our ministry paper that we're putting forward to the ministry. And I remember being on calls with you and all the doctors involved and everyone at a brain level way above mine. And you all kept talking, and I think I finally interrupted where I said, you know, everyone is talking about, you know, preventative and care and what we need to be doing in the health sector and in clinics and the ministry and papers, and nobody's talking about how people feel. Yeah. You know, and people feel scared. Mm-hmm. They feel scared and they feel embarrassed. And I think the first time I used the word embarrassed is when I spoke to you, because you feel embarrassed. You feel embarrassed that you have this disease and that you have to now deal with this disease. And all I can say is don't wait, don't delay. If it's in your family, if it's in your, if it's something that's hereditary, stay on top of it. Be aware of it. Diet, exercise, lifestyle. We say those three words regularly, but when you have to live the consequences of not recognizing those three things, I end up being on a program talking to you. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of us out there, and as Dr. Mann said, people don't understand what 1,500 means. 1,500 is ridiculously unacceptable. And 1,500 amputations a year does not post well for a community, does not post well for a country. And it's not that it cannot be prevented. It's absolutely preventative, and it's absolutely something that we need to do a better job with. But for anyone that may feel or not sure, you see a cut, you see that it's not healing. Dr. Mann talked about becoming pussy. Do it. Yeah. Go and go there. There's enough available information, and there's enough available help that you can seek to go and find out what's going on and to do something about it then, instead of having to wait to do something about it later on.
And thanks so much for that final word, Ja. And I think that is what we echo. Don't delay. If it is that you do know that you have a complication, if it is your diabetes is uncontrollable, if it is that you see something in the bottom of the foot, a cut or some issue, go seek immediate attention. The days that you wait could matter, and that could determine if it can be treated with some medication or if it needs to have or it needs to be amputated. Yeah. So as soon as you do see any issue, I want to go to your doctor, present to the health center or your private doctor and get it addressed. And thank you so much, Ja, for giving us
Bobby, before he goes there, Andrew, could I just ask him a question? I was looking at your Facebook page there, Mr. Booker. Thank you for your story. In terms of the prosthetic leg, tell us about the process, because I know a lot of people who have been trying and to raise money, raise funds to get that prosthetic leg. Tell us about your process with that.
Based what I did was I was introduced to six fellow amputees in Trinidad across the country, every walk of life, and you now become aware of everything. You online becomes your friend, the ministry becomes your friend, and you seek all the help you can. You don't stop. You don't take no for an answer. You don't allow the financial challenge that you're going to face to become a deferral, and you have to embrace it. There are two choices. You do everything you can to get back up and walk, or you don't do anything and you sit down in a chair. And sitting down in a chair was not going to be something that that I was going to do. And again, you know, I realize when I talk, sometimes I make it sound as though it's an easy thing. It was not easy. It was not fun. The reality of the situation is that it hurts you in your heart. It hurts you in your brain. And every morning you open your eyes, it's a constant reminder. But the decision is that do you allow it to become the better of you, or do you find every which way to allow yourself to continue living? I was going to not say this, but there's a gentleman that those of us who live in the West will see all the time by the Mokorapu traffic lights. and they get to a point of despair. I've literally pulled over and told him that I'm not giving him $5 because look what I have, you know, and then trying my best to develop a conversation with this gentleman to get him to a point where he sees it as an option. Sometimes you get to that point where you don't want that option. I know some young people who that are under the age of 25 that cannot deal with it, you know, and that's where support and outside and beyond what Andrew and that are about is where, you know, maybe I find my calling, or those of us who supported me find our calling in giving the hope and encouragement to someone to understand that life is not over. You know, at 50, I'd like to think that I'm a young person still, and they have a lot still to be done. You know, my goal last year was to walk up the Pines, you know, and I was on that course until November, where even with my current situation, I developed a cut on the limb, and the cut on the limb put me off my prosthetic for 8 weeks. And that was absolutely no fun. And that was absolutely a point in time where I thought it was going to defeat me. But again, you know, you just have to be positive. So, you know, I can't believe you tell me you're on my Facebook page, but, you know, I'm a person involved, you know, and I'm a person who will try to continue being involved and seeing what my limitations are and seeing how best I could to approach those limitations. There's a gentleman, I won't call his name because I don't have his permission, but he has demonstrated to me that there's very little we can't do, you know, and so beyond the conversation that we're having on this call, that's how you deal with life. That's how you deal with it. The prosthetics in Trinidad are available. We have great support. We have great doctors. We have great clinics. There are opportunities. There are options out there. And they have the knowledge and they have the ability to guide you along the path that you have to go. You know, and it's going to be something that I have to change. You know, it's going to be something that I'm going to have to keep changing maybe every 5, 6, 8 years. But you know, but I'm walking. I'm walking, and to me, that's all that really matters. So I don't know if I answer your question there, Beast.
Yeah, man, definitely, man. Well, thanks again for your story. It's very, you know, very, very, it's a very, very good story. Very, I'm glad you got the support. I'm seeing you on your Facebook here, the support you got from your family. I know there's support. A lot of people maybe don't have this kind of support. I know the Diabetes Association, you know, could provide that. A lot of groups of people, but it's good to hear you speak, and I'm sure a lot of people would be encouraged. It's very encouraging to hear you speak.
Huh? Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely. And thanks again, Joe. Thanks for joining us.
All right, great. Joe, have a great day.
All right, man.
Same to you.
Yeah,
man. All right, so basically, I think that's the end of our program today, and we had a very interesting discussion with both a professional and a person affected by the condition. Yeah. And I think we're going to be continue to do this next week. Mm-hmm. And
I think hearing stories like this will be an eye opener to people as well. You know, they can't see it, but they can hear it. You know, we need that little shock factor now and then, you know.
Definitely. And I know our time is up, but I know many of our listeners may have
I did have a question here. The vitamin for PAD, somebody wanted to know what is the vitamin. Well, would like to know the name of the vitamin for PAD.
I guess they're talking about peripheral artery disease.
Yeah.
The vitamin that Dr. Mann was talking about in his supplement is actually vitamin B1.
Okay.
And studies have shown that in persons with diabetes, B1 is deficient. And with the B1 supplementation, that's where they've seen remedy for peripheral artery disease for especially neuropathy that we were talking about. So that may be what the person was asking about.
Okay.
So I'll listen on after this program. I know persons may have some calls, and so I'll listen on, and maybe next week we could address if persons have questions as well. But thank you so much for having us again. Thank you so much to all of the listeners for joining us for Diabetes and You. Next week we will continue with another interesting topic, exciting topic, and again we'll have someone sharing their story.
Definitely. All right. Thank you there very much. You've been listening to Diabetes and You with Andrew Danu, of the president of the Diabetes Association, and his two very special guest today. All right, keep it locked on to Freedom 106.5.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.